What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Mongols Podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev, Josh, and Hounds owner Tuffy Schallenberger. The Hounds just dropped a major bombshell. Let's discuss. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle. Back to
Tuffy, thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Absolutely. So we are still processing the news today, that the Hounds have hired Bob Lilly as our new head coach. Amidst news that Coach Brandt, wouldn't be allowed to coach next season. Walk us through how all this came together, because it feels like it really happened pretty quickly.
We had got the information that we weren't going to be in compliance next year with the sanctioning for the Division II. Not only with the stadium, we have to do the upgrades of the stadium there, but also with Coach Brandt not having his licensing in place. You have to be A licensed now with the Division II sanctioning. Kind of just hit us hard here, and we had to make a move, and that's kind of the way it went down.
So, you hear that, Coach can't be the coach anymore. I guess what's your gut reaction? How did you sort of approach him with that information? How did it go down? And then how did Bob Lilly really come into the picture?
Well, it was very tough. I mean, listen, I have the utmost respect for Coach Brandt. I mean, he's taking this program or our organization to the next level. He really did. He's moved us forward so much in the year he was here, and it was tough. I mean, I had all the confidence in Coach Brandt to move us farther, but rules are rules, and you gotta live by the rules. We have to be in compliance if we want to be in the Division II. So it's just a move we had to make, and it was a very tough move. Coach Brandt was very upset, as I was, but he understood, and he was beyond professional. Matter of fact, I mean, the rumblings of Rochester was going on at the same time. We were talking about the whole situation, and actually the first thing come out of Coach Brandt's mouth was, besides being in shock about the whole situation, was listen, I mean, Bob Lilly, is the rumblings up there. I mean, that's who you got to reach out to. That's your guy. I mean, which I thought was just, when you got a guy like that, it cares about the club so much. I mean, it just made it tougher, but that was his reaction. And he's helped, Coach Lilly, I mean, through this transition. I mean, they've talked, he's brought him up to speed on players, trials, so on and so forth. And it's still in communication with him constantly, just helping him to get settled in here. So he's been beyond professional, and that's all you can say.
Yeah. I mean, that's fantastic to hear. Obviously we've had Coach on this show a number of times, and that sounds right in line with them. So, we're obviously going to miss him, but the word comes out that Bob Lilly may be available. What was your sort of next step? How did you go out there and land the fish that is Bob Lilly?
Well, it's interesting, and it's crazy. I'm very close with the ownership group up in Rochester. Dave and Wendy Dworkin, great people. I mean, great people. So I reach out to them, and I said, hey, there's rumblings going on. How's things sitting up there? And I explained the whole situation with Coach Brandt. I said, listen, I had to let my coach go here, and And you know, just like Coach Brandt, the Dworkins are the same way. They said, listen, you know, the things that are going on up here, we're not sure which direction we're going to be heading. You know, we're not able to exercise Bob's contract. And I was like, wow. I'm like, would you mind if I just reach out to Bob and talk to him? They said, well, no, absolutely. You know, and so I called Bob and we had a short 3-hour conversation and then things just started progressing and we talked all weekend and we got everything ironed out over the weekend and here we are with the exciting, you know, the excitement is building now. You know, we got the guy that seems to figure out a way to beat us every time we play.
Beat our tie. Yeah. Give some credit to the Hounds there. It seems like, you know, you look at Bob's pedigree, and you know, he obviously won the championship with the Rhinos in 2015. His record sort of speaks for itself: 87, 37, and 53. As the head coach of the Rhinos, which is amazing. And I think, you know, one of the things that really stands out to me is that we've talked about this a lot. I've talked to you about this, is sort of this difference between two types of teams in the USO. You sort of have the old guard that have been around for a while, you know, have these team bases that are instilled in these cities. And then you have a lot of these newer teams like the Louisvilles, the Cincinnati's, all of that. And the fact that Bob has been able to win and consistently, he's been in the playoffs every year that he's coached in Rochester with an old guard team, I think bodes very, very well for the Hounds, because he can come in, he can take charge of a team that's been here a while, you know, may not have the money to splash that, you know, something like a Cincinnati is throwing at things. In your mind, why is Bob Lilly the best case for right now for the Hounds?
Well, I think you summed it up perfectly. I mean, Bob's old school. He's been around the block. He knows how a little bit. And listen, I don't know Bob that well. I mean, I've talked to him a lot in the last week. But, you know, just reaching out to different people that know Bob well. And what I can feel from Bob already was, well, like you said, his record speaks for itself. But Bob, I can tell already, is going to get every ounce of everything out of his players. You know, he's a motivator. I can tell that already. You know, just with some of the chats from with the players and him, and it's wow. You know, he's very, very, very demanding on his players, and you're not going to leave anything on the table with him. I mean, or you won't be on the field. I mean, it's that simple. And I don't care if you're the captain the whole way to the 20th guy. I mean, you're just not going to be – this guy's going to drag it out of you. You're not going to be on the field with him.
I mean, obviously this has all come together really quickly. But as he steps into this role, has there been anything in particular that he's sort of laid out for you, like – we're going to try to have him on, you know, next week to talk to him directly. But has there been anything he's come to you and said, this is really what I'm about, this is what I want to try to accomplish with what's here, to really sort of make you think, yes, absolutely, go do this?
Yeah, I mean, we talked a lot today, you know. Well, we didn't get into the players as much as we wanted to because there was so much other stuff going on. But, yeah, I mean, he is, you know, there's no doubt some of the talent we have here, he's just, you know, he's very impressed with, and he's going to keep around. And I'm sure there's other guys that aren't going to be around. But I think that he is, it's going to be interesting over the next couple of days. Hey, we got trials here on Thursday and Friday. We got 40 or 50 guys coming in. There's just going to be a lot of things happening over the next few days here, because it's just such a whirlwind, because everything happened so fast that, you know, it's just, it's just tough right now to answer anything on as far as players and so forth.
I mean, yeah, that's totally fair. And, you know, I guess one of my personal questions is, I know that we had talked previously that exit interviews have happened. We've confirmed this with players and coach and all of that. You know, is there any chance that, you know, there were some players that maybe Coach Brandt didn't have in mind that, you know, maybe Bob Lilly is interested in potentially bringing back? Or, you know, you mentioned you maybe not have talked about that already.
I think there's I think every coach sees players a different way. I think Coach Lilly, they all have different styles, and they get different things out of players different ways. I think that's fair to say that, you know, some of the players would have possibly been gone under Coach Brandt that Coach Lilly will bring back. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I think I'll know that over the next week. Like I said, I know for sure he's played against us, you know, how many times. I mean, a lot of the players here, I mean, we have, what, 3 games with him this year, and a lot of these guys here the year before. So he knows our team.
Yeah.
He knows more about our team than you can imagine. He knows a lot about this team. So I think he has a good feeling for who he thinks, and I think he'll be able to confirm more once he talks to him and lays out his expectations. Because, like I said, I believe he's going to be very, very demanding. So I think over the next week or two, well, we're going to know by the 30th. I mean, the 30th is the deadline. I mean, the players will either exercise the options or you know, they'll be left go. But his phone was just blowing up today. So,
oh, I'm sure
it's going to be.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he mentioned that November 30th deadline a couple times during the press conference today that was on Facebook. You know, not having much insight into the USL workings, I didn't realize that was an actual hard deadline. So that's the case where if their options are going to be picked up, they have to know by November 30th. Is that the case?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think the team will release sort of the list of players whose options have been picked up at that point, or do you guys think you'll keep that under wraps until we get into sort of spring training?
Oh, no. We'll be releasing. Yeah, we'll be releasing the ones we pick up the options. We'll be releasing names as they get picked up.
Good. All right, well, let's do this. Obviously, this is massive news. I think all of us are still somewhat in shock. You know, when the news came out that you guys were going to do the press conference today, there was lots of speculation on the internet. And honestly, you know, this was sort of one of the last things I thought. And then when we saw Bob Lilly sit in the chair, it was like, wait, what? What is going on here? So it's a really exciting time. I think there's a lot that obviously we're going to figure out, you know, as we move through the offseason here and sort of see the shapings of what Bob has in mind. You know, when we were originally planning on having you on last week, we had a number of questions that we wanted to sort of dive in with you personally. Just, you know, your thoughts about 2017, some of the other things that are going on non-coach related, you know, in this offseason. So hopefully let's touch on those just a little bit and then we'll let you go. We know that you're swamped here. So, you know, to start us off, aside from bringing in Coach Lilly, which obviously mission accomplished, what are your biggest goals for the organization this offseason? What would you like to see done between now and kickoff, you know, 2018?
Well, I mean, we have a lot to do. I mean, we have a lot going on. Actually, we have to do some upgrades to the stadium. As far as team-wise, I mean, I'm very comfortable where we're at now. You know, Coach or Bob, Coach Lilly, he runs a different operation. I mean, he handles all of the players. I mean, and that was the deal from day one, which I respect. He's done that since all through his career. I mean, he don't have a GM sticking first handing in players. He wants to pick his players. He wants to deal with his players. So, you know, nobody can argue his success. So he will, You know, so that makes me very comfortable, knowing that's taken care of. But I mean, so my main focus now is just get the rest of the organization in order and just do better than we did this year. I mean, we just got to continue to get better every year. Are we going to instantly be perfect? No, I'm going to continue to make mistakes. We all make mistakes, but every year we're going to get better and better and better, and that's the goal.
Any new details on the stadium expansion, like timeline for that or how exactly you guys are doing it?
Yeah, we're still reviewing drawings right now, but we're getting close, but we will have the expansion done by the first game. It's not going to be very difficult. I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, it's not going to be that hard. I mean, we're definitely going to do stuff down on the east end, down the supporter section. We're going to take that up, and we're looking at some seating maybe along the riverside. We don't want to block the view naturally, so maybe a couple rows over there to get you more of that, you know, intimate down on the field type of. You know, everybody likes to hang out over there anyhow, so we might put some. seating. So we're looking at a couple different options, but it's not going to be a real, real hard project to accomplish.
In the context of the whole stadium expansion, it's kind of staying on that thread. I believe when you joined us at the beginning of last season, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned the potential for a stadium relocation in the future. I'm curious if there's any kind of news on that process.
As of now, not yet. I mean, but this is it. I mean, once these ones go in, that's it. We're maxed out. I mean, we're going to push it to get it where, you know, get it to the 5,000. I mean, you know, with the excitement of Bob coming in here, if things happen the way I think they'll happen, you know, you got to win in Pittsburgh. I've said it from day one. You got to win in Pittsburgh. With winning comes, we'll keep getting, drawing more and more fans. I think that shouldn't be an issue, hopefully. You know, so year or two from now, I mean, our attendance was up, I think, 30% last year.
That's good.
So, you know, with a good season this year, you know, we start filling it up, then we can, you know, we can get more serious about it. It's tough to think about relocating and building a bigger stadium when you don't have the one you have filled up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I think we got to do one thing at a time here. Let's get this thing filled up this year. We got a good, ticketing team in place. You know, we brought them in, you know, last year, mid-season or so, and it was phenomenal what they've done and accomplished. They're great. And they're at it right now. I mean, and they're doing very, very, very well. So let's get this year. Let's pack that place, and then that makes it a little easier to negotiate things out to get something a little bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, changing gears here just a little bit. There's been a lot of discussion online sort of about the abundance of kids and academy players at the game, and there's no doubt the academy has been successful in producing opportunities for the kids. You know, obviously look no further than the girls getting scholarships last season, and that seems to, you know, keep continuing. The academy is something I think the Hounds should be very proud of. You know, you have obviously a kid that plays, I have a kid that plays, all of that. In your mind, does the success of the academy play in a role in whether the first team is ultimately successful, or is it the other way around, or how do you sort of correlate the academy to the first team, or is there no correlation between them?
Well, I think they feed off of each other. You know, If you can imagine, I can only imagine if you're a pro player and you're playing in front of 300 people or 5,000 people, and you're playing in front of that kid that you was training out there, you know, you're going to step it up a notch, and you don't want him getting on you the next day of practice and say, man, you blew that, you know, so, so, uh, you know, So I think I honestly think it feeds the pro team, and then naturally the pro team feeds the academy, because listen, you know, like you said, you got a kid in there. I mean, he wants to come down and see see who was training him this week, see how he's doing. I mean, these pro players or these kids, they're their teachers, they're their friends, you know, and they wanna come. So the support's there. And hey, listen, the more we grow the academy, the more kids that are getting trained by these guys, and you know, it's one big family at that point. And the bigger the family, the more people you're gonna have, and it makes everything more successful.
Yeah, I mean, we all, you know, sort of harken back to, I think it was the opening game of the season where Corey picked up the one ball boy. And I mean, you know, just that dynamic, and we talked to a number of academy kids and academy parents who are always talking to the players, and it feels like, you know, especially now there's that announcement of the academy expanding into a lot of the local youth programs. It feels like you guys are trying to do something a little bit different than what's been done previously, and you're really sort of building something special with the academy and the community, and ultimately trying to, you know, collectively build the audience, the future audience of the Hounds. So it definitely seems like something interesting, something unique, something that could be good moving forward.
Well, absolutely. I mean, the kids are the future. We all know that. Our kids are our future. And we are. We're taking a more, you know, we've turned this thing, and we're doing more of a grassroots. I mean, there's been problems over the years. It's no secret with clubs and that. But we're beyond that. I mean, I just want to make soccer better in Pittsburgh. I want to make it better for the pro team. I want to make it better for the kids. I just want to make it better. And that's the route we're going to go. There's no animosity towards any club in this area. I mean, we'll work with anybody. I mean, that's just the way it's going to be from here on out. And I think I think it's showing. The results are showing now.
Real quick question here. Someone posted a couple weeks ago a really cool looking 2018 Hounds jersey. That would apparently turn out to be a fake, but what's it kind of got everyone excited about the new kits for the new season and all that kind of stuff. Just can you maybe quickly speak about the process for determining what the new kits look like each year?
Well, it's not that difficult of a process. I mean, whoever you're with, I mean, at that point you're gonna go through and you're going to customize what you can customize if you have enough time and if the availability is there. But it's not rocket science. You just more or less go through and pick what you like and, you know, whoever the sponsor is at that point. But, yeah, I got to admit, that was a pretty cool-looking kit.
Something along the same vein, any word about rebranding or anything like that? I know that was a rumor for a while and something that you guys were going to look at later on.
We'll talk.
That's fair. That's sort of the code word for move on. So we get it. That's all right. Let's do this, Tuffy. Obviously, like I said, we want to be respectful of your time. So let's just do some really quick rapid fire and then we'll let you go. So what was your favorite moment of 2017?
Oh, favorite moment. Let's see. Yeah, some of those keeper saves this year were just not that you want that to be your moment, but I tell you what, a couple of those you know, between Trey and Kiesel, they pulled a couple off there, but it was unbelievable. So I'd say that had to be some of the highlights of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. What you know, from your standpoint, what was one of the most difficult moments of 2017?
Not making the playoffs.
Yeah. What makes you most optimistic about the organization heading into 2018?
The announcement today.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's sort of a layup, but yeah, that's fair. We wrote these before we knew about Bob Lilly, so that's sort of there. I guess, you know, and then just...
I didn't say you're making it easy.
Yeah, I know, I'm sorry. And I guess just, you know, on a personal level, any sort of personal plans for the off season? You know, I don't know if you follow any sort of teams when the Hounds aren't playing. Obviously, you know, we mentioned your kid playing. You're probably watching your kid playing. But anything that you're just looking forward to in the off season that you otherwise can't do during the season because the Hounds are just so busy?
And no, I mean, like I said, this is the time, though, you know, with, and like you say, your son's in there, you know what this travel's like anymore. So it's like a vacation every couple of weeks, you know, because we're going to a different state, it seems like. So, yeah, we get to enjoy that through the winter because it is tough during the season, you know, it's tough. But, that's as far as anything else, I really don't, you know, I work and go to soccer games. That's about it. That's my life.
Life of a soccer parent. I totally get it. Trust me. Well, hey, listen, man, we always love having you on. It's a pleasure having you here. Best of luck, obviously, with getting everything done this off season, obviously continuing to grow the brand and the team and work with Coach Lilly, all of that. Like we've said before, you know, we're all in this pulling for professional soccer in Pittsburgh to succeed. So, you know, we're happy to do anything we can to help with those efforts. So, you know, obviously kudos on landing Coach Lilly. Like I said, best of luck here, and hopefully you guys are able to accomplish everything that you're trying to accomplish here before we get started in the preseason, which is really only a few months away.
Yeah, it'll be here before we know it. But, I just want to thank you guys. I mean, you guys are so supportive of us, and I can't tell you how much we appreciate that. And, you know, I just want you guys to know we're going to do our best to bring the best here to Pittsburgh. I mean, we're going to have our ups and downs, but I think we're headed in the right directions. I mean, I'm very impatient myself, but we're going to get there. Like I said, we just really appreciate you guys' support.
Absolutely. Thanks, Tuffy. We appreciate it. Have a good night.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Obviously, massive thanks to Tuffy for stopping by. As those of you who listen to this show religiously know, we were intending on having him on the show last Monday. But Tuffy let us know, like, hey, there might be something that's going on. And so we said, you know what? Let's postpone it. We'll have you on once the news breaks. And obviously he was gracious enough to come on the day the news broke. So huge thanks to him for being, you know, transparent. And I think that's one of the things that we want to look for in the organization is this transparency and this continued transparency. I think that the Hounds as an organization could be even more transparent to a certain degree. And I think that's one of the things we're going to sort of push for, you know, as a show, is try to learn more and more about what goes on in the front office, what goes on behind the scenes. And the fact that Tuffy's willing to come on and really just, you know, pour his heart out in some cases and tell us everything that's going on, I think it's fantastic. As fans, we want to know what's going on with this organization, and that makes us feel like we're more a part of it. So, you know, guys, obviously we just got off the phone with Tuffy. What are some of your immediate reactions to some of the things that he said? Kev, I'll go ahead and start with you.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, kind of a thank you and a shout out to Brant. I mean, he's been really, really good to us personally. I think, you know, Tuffy spoke about his work ethic, and I think we've kind of heard about that around the city and from what we've seen, how he really seemed he was very committed to the Hounds and the club. And I mean, so it's hard to see someone like that go in these kind of circumstances when maybe in other circumstances he might have been around. But so I mean, yeah, first and foremost, kind of thing like that. Mike, you mentioned you might want to say something before jumping into the Tuffy thing.
Yeah, I mean, I want to add to that that we did go out and thank Coach Brant privately, but I do want to take a moment and thank him publicly as well. I mean, obviously the guys know soccer. Was great to talk to. For those of you, you know, who've listened all season, we had him on twice in the preseason. We had him on once the season was over. He just, you could tell there's a spark there. He loves soccer. He loves talking about soccer. He knows soccer. And was just fantastic to work with. He was always forthcoming, again, with the transparency. You could ask him any question and he would give you the answer. There's no secrecy about what it is that he's trying to do. So, obviously, you know, some of the stuff that Tuffy said really sort of pulls at the heartstrings. That, you know, he tells him, like, hey, we got to let you go. And one of his first reactions is, how about Bob Lilly? It's gut-wrenching. So, you know, best of luck to Coach Brant. It seems like a really crappy way to lose your position. You know, obviously, I have no doubt Coach Brant is going to succeed in whatever it is that he does. So, Coach, you know, if you're listening, best of luck to you. Coach Lilly is going to have some massive shoes to fill. So, you know, thank you again for, you know, coming on the show and doing what you did. I think if you had the opportunity to continue this further, you know, the road could have been very bright as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But all of that being said, it is kind of nice to welcome in Coach Lilly. I'm sure I kind of speak for you guys, and I'm sure we'll get into this in more detail.
Don't speak for me.
I mean, I'm personally, you know, excited to see what Coach Lilly can bring. I'm now interested in kind of finding everything there is to know about him, and I'm sure we'll do some shows kind of covering that. He seems like he's had a pretty successful career, and the other nice thing is it seems like, you know, Tuffy's pretty excited about him too, and so. It seems like, you know, he'll have the club around him supporting him, kind of getting through these off seasons and looking at, you know, the players that he wants to keep around. My overall broad general thoughts on the entire Tuffy interview, you know, important things to kind of pull out. Yeah, he was gutted to let Brandt go. Super excited to get Lilly in. He mentioned that, you know, Lilly is going to have some control and power, bringing in potentially players that he would want rather than Brandt. And then some of the non-managerial stuff. Josh got, I think, the best question and answer award for the whole branding thing. I mean, it wasn't an answer, but it was kind of an answer. I mean, so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and I was like, this was a touchy subject right now. So, interesting.
That's pretty cool. It's what a time to be a Hounds fan.
I will say, you know, Josh, before I throw to you, one of the things that when this news broke, we have sort of our own little chat, and so the three of us were talking about it, and I kept saying that, you know, this is not the sexy pick, and you came back and you were like, I think it is kind of sexy. So what, explain to people why you think, you know, Bob Lilly is the sexy pick here.
Well, this feels awkward, but let's move on. Honestly, this is a guy who has a huge history within USL, especially. Like, he hasn't missed the playoffs ever. Like, this is a major player in this, you know, level of soccer. So the fact that we have him is pretty awesome. I can't think of a more exciting idea than having someone who's never missed the playoffs as your coach. You know what I mean? Like, that's huge. Some people like to say defensive soccer and, oh, it's, you know, it's a slog. But how many times have I said, I don't care how we win. I just care that we win. So for myself, at least, that is the most important thing as far as this team is, like, we have to actually start winning, and this is the guy to do it.
Yeah.
Especially in the state that we're in now. I mean, you know, if it's like, if we just came off the back of winning the title and winning everything we could, and then this switch happens, and then, you know, we go to this kind of, then maybe there's a discussion to be had. But I mean, in the context, in the season that we just had gone by, bringing in someone who is a proven playoff contender, it is exciting. So, you know, it's, yeah.
Well, in bringing him in when we did, I mean, obviously Brandt came in sort of mid-season, and at that point your hands are sort of tied in terms of what it is you can do. It's not your players. You're trying to build around a system that already exists and trying to make do with what you have, whereas now Lilly comes in, he has the opportunity to really have an entire offseason to implement what it is he wants to implement. You know, Tuffy talked about that we have a combine coming up here where he's going to get to review players, figure out what players to bring in. We talked to Coach, and he mentioned, you know, we mentioned to Tuffy as well that there were some exit interviews that went on where some of the players may have, you know, been told that they may not be welcome back. You know, a lot of those things are sort of kept private at this point, but whether or not Bob Lilly, having played against the Hounds, says, no, you know, I think maybe some of these players may be well suited for our team, there's an opportunity that some of them may be welcome back. So what we may have thought, you know, thus far going into the offseason may be completely just thrown to the wind because Lilly may come in and say, I'm just going to scramble everything and do what it is that I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And I think the other part of that interview that kind of spoke to me was him talking about how Bob Lilly doesn't really do GMs.
Yeah.
Like, he is the person who scouts, and he's the person that finds the players. And that's that's exciting. That's another thing that you get with Bob Lilley, is the fact that he's been such a, you know, person in this league that he does know the players. He does know what to look for, and he just has that experience. So we've been kind of harping on that for a while, like, you know, hey, are we ever going to get like a GM, like a dedicated GM? And now that question doesn't really have much merit.
Yeah, and I think that might be the most understated point of this whole signing, is the fact that I think the Hounds very easily could have gone out and got, you know, I said that I didn't think Bob Lilley was sort of the sexy signing. I think the Hounds could have gone out and got some former U.S. national team player that's trying to make
Kyle
their name.
Martino,
you. I mentioned Kyle Martino in our chat. I don't think Kyle Martino actually would have been an option. He's too busy trying to run for, you know, U.S. soccer president. But, you know, there are plenty of cases where you look around the USL where you have these players that are trying to come in, you know, like an Eric Winalda, who came in and was very successful coaching in lower divisions and is sort of making a name for himself. I think the Hounds very easily could have gone out and found somebody that was unproven like that, but the name alone would have sold tickets and put people in the seats without necessarily bringing results on the field. And I think they did the complete opposite. I think the fact that they went out and got a coach of an old guard team who knows what it's like to be a team that may not have the massive following, that may not have all of the money in the world, like a Cincinnati, because you have all of this interest, and is still able to produce results in a year after year basis. I think this is potentially the best situation for both Bob Lilley and for us in terms of expectations and what could realistically happen, you know, from here on out.
I think we should also note how, I mean, in a way, we got really lucky with this. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it sounded like this kind of came up out of nowhere, and so we could have very, you know, say Rochester keeps Lilley around, we could have very much been thrown a huge surprise on our doorstep at the beginning of the offseason, and not really have a clear path forward of who to get in, and in a very short period of time to make a decision. And so, you know, the fact that everything just kind of worked out this way, I you know, very fortunate for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, just to that note, we did a little bit of digging because, you know, one of the main reason, obviously, why Coach Lilley was brought in was because Coach Brandt is ineligible to coach based under USL rules because of the license A. And there was a lot of speculation online a little bit, like, well, you know, how long does it actually take to get your license A? All of that. It really depends on what Coach Brandt's current license level is. That will determine how long it would take to get to A. So it's not as clear cut as US soccer makes it. So yeah, I think that, you know, just to clarify that for everybody that's listening, it's not as clear cut as it may seem, but I think, you know, one of the things that I tried to do was when we learned that Bob Lilley was going to be the head coach, immediately I reached out to our buddy Brendan Doherty, who used to do the USL Eastern Conference Confidential show. He's been covering Rochester Rhinos for years, and really just sort of asked him, you know, what is it about Bob Lilley that made Rochester so successful? And what is it that, you know, you would want to pass along to Pittsburgh Riverhounds fans that they can expect out of Bob Lilley? And what he sent me was, he favors attitude over raw skill. So a couple of relatively well-known D2 players were cut in the preseason the past couple of years because they weren't coachable by Bob. It's all about buying into the system, working hard, and creating something that's greater than the sum of its pieces. So I think that, you know, when you sort of look at, we've talked a lot about what is the identity of this club. What do we want this club to be, and how is it going to best represent us as fans moving forward? And I think this is sort of the best case scenario for us as we move forward. It's not going to be a team of all-stars. It's going to be, how can we take the pieces that we have and make it as great as we can?
Something that kind of surprised me by that, or not surprised, but that spoke to me about that was it kind of feels like what we thought Brandt was, or what we, you know, what Brandt was working towards. I mean, he's all about dedication to work, working or playing within the system that he's building. So that's kind of, yeah, I feel like maybe Bob Lilly is going to be more along in that process and know how to do it better, as far as, since he's been doing it for so long, he has the experience. But that's not far off of what we were working towards already. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah, it's not a complete, like, blow up the system and start over. It's very much a continuation of what Coach Brandt already started, which, if you listen to if you go back and listen to the press conference from earlier today, Bob Lilly sort of, you know, mentioned that he's been working with Brandt and the groundwork is sort of there. So here's hoping that it's, you know, it gives him a good launching pad to move forward. Unfortunately, Coach Brandt can't continue what he started, but it's not, you know, a complete, you know, reinvention of the wheel in this case. We're sort of keep moving along the path that we started this season. So hopefully, you know, great things to come. And hopefully, you know, we'll see some of those core players that we've talked about all season that we'd like to see back. Maybe we'll see them back as just part of this system that continues to grow. Who knows? We'll have a lot more to figure out here, obviously, throughout the entire offseason, which I keep thinking, like, hey, guys, we're going to, like, take the offseason off. And, like, it's already mid-November. Like, we're going to be starting the preseason here in, like, a month and a half. So I'm not, you know, hopeful that we're going to get too much time off here. I guess, is there anything else from, you know, what Tuffy said, anything else from the press conference today that you guys really want to bring up at this point and you think that it's worth digging in deep to?
I mean, I have some stats that were dug up by Mike Shoemaker from the Steel Army that I thought were kind of interesting. We were, you know, we kind of go through coaches a lot here. And so we're doing the math about, you know, since Highmark has been built, what has our coaching situation be and how long have we had him? So Justin Evans was our first coach. We had him for 401 days at Highmark. He was coached before that, but only at Highmark for 401 days. Then we had the interim coach of Nico, who was 212 days. Then Stephens was 521. And Brandt was actually our longest running coach, 541 days. So kind of interesting. I mean, I think of Brandt as not being here that long, but he was,
yeah.
At least in the Highmark era, the longest running coach.
Longest tenure. That's kind of crazy. Great stats by Shu. Thank you for that. So
now we reset the clock. 0 days of injury work at the workplace.
0 days since we fired a coach.
I mean, and you know, in all honesty, I put together an article that we put out mid-season where I talked about sort of how to make the Hounds successful moving forward. And the argument that I made in that article was, the way we do that is by keeping Coach Brandt around, not having this revolving door of coaches who are going to bring in new players and a new system and all of that. And I don't know about you guys. I mean, maybe we'll go around the table here, but the sense that I get, at least from hearing some of the preliminary stuff with Bob Lilly, we're going to try to have him on Monday's show, so we'll get his perspective on it personally. The sense that I get, at least from listening to the press conference, from talking to Tuffy, is that this may not be a case of bringing in a whole new lineup and creating this revolving door. And so part of me feels like, even though Coach Brandt won't be back, it's not necessarily blowing everything up the way that I was insinuating in that article that would be detrimental to the team. So I don't think that it's necessarily a terrible thing. Would I like to see Coach Brandt back? Absolutely. But I think that this is probably the next best thing to having him back.
I mean, I slightly disagree. I mean, I think you're slightly overestimating how potentially similar Lilly and Brandt are going to be. I mean, at the end of the day, they're different managers. Lilly's going to have his own preferences of players he wants to bring in. And he's going to have, you know, different systems, all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, while we can make a kind of broad judgment and say, well, on the surface, philosophically, maybe they play similar styles. But even at that, I'm sure there are fine details that Lily's going to want to go in one direction that maybe Brandt didn't go in one direction. So he, you know, he's still going to have time to get to know the players to know him, to install a new system and all that kind of stuff. So I think even if you bring in managers that have similar styles or philosophies, I think there's a base betting in time that I think is probably bigger than maybe we usually as fans give, not credit for is the right word, but give time for, something like that. And so I think there is going to be some time, but you know, hopefully the preseason is going to be long enough that Lilly can kind of hit the ground running day one. I'm just curious to kind of quickly go around the table. Simple question, 0 to 10, 0 being not excited at all, 10 being excited. How excited are you guys about Lilly coming in?
I would say pretty damn excited. So like an 8.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like I said, I think considering everything and considering the fact that he's done this with an old Guard Shield team time and time again, where, you know, Rochester hasn't had a massive fan base, all of that, I would have to agree with Josh. I think that, you know, if I knew the coach was coming, if I knew that Coach Brandt was coming back, I would probably be an 8 or a 9, just in terms of, you know, we talked about sort of the roots being set, and this is now his opportunity to move forward. He talked about a 4-3-3. I think all that's exciting. I think with Lilly coming in, it's hard for me not to be a 7 or an 8. Like, I'm definitely above 5, well above 5. It's just how close to 10 am I? Kev, where do you sit on that spectrum?
Same, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest benefit, too, is it would be one thing to, I mean, I think one of the biggest challenges Brandt, and he admitted this himself, one of the biggest challenges Brandt had coming in was, you know, he didn't know the USL. Even if you get, even say we like hit it out of the park and get a huge name of like a coach in the MLS or even like higher level or whatever like that, there's still a time to come in and learn what the USL is about, learn what kind of, how teams play, the players and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this is a guy in Lilly that has been around, he knows the USL and he knows how to win in the USL. This isn't, you know, he knows how to win in collegiate level. This isn't, he knows how to win in the MLS. This guy knows the league. So that's, I think that's going to be the most exciting part. Given this situation of, hey, you know, out of nowhere, boom, Brandt's gone. You quickly got to make a decision. What's it going to be for us to land on Lilly? I mean, I think that's one of the best decisions you can make. I mean, the only thing that you can maybe argue is it would be nice to maybe get him in the first day after the last game of the season, but it sounded like that wasn't really a thing. I mean, you know, but
technically we did. The USL ended yesterday, like the Louisville won the championship. Yeah. So
I mean, but
in the Hound season,
there was right. Brandt did a lot. It sounded like Brandt did a lot of work between, you know, then and now, and all that kind of stuff. But it sounded like that wasn't really an option. So yeah, I think this is one of the best coaches we could have got.
Yeah. Josh, I can't remember what my initial question was that I was going to throw to you, because Kevin completely bogarted it. But I guess
sure it was a really good one. I'm sure it was really good.
Do you have any like closing thoughts on Lilly? Anything you want to like throw out just before we, you know, exit this discussion and set up for, you know, talking to Coach next week?
Yeah, just one quick thing, just for people who don't know. I mean, we've been talking about him for a while now, but I don't think we've actually even said, you know, his pedigree. I mean, well, first off, he's coached Rochester Rhinos since 2009. Mm-hmm. So that alone is pretty huge. But he also did Montreal Impact, Vancouver Whitecaps. Mind you, both of those were before they were in the MLS. So he's been at this level for a long time, and he's also, like we've said, never missed the playoffs. So those are the key things to know about Lilly, I would say, as far as what to expect from him.
Yeah. So obviously, tons of stuff that we can talk about here with Coach Lilly. You know, again, massive thanks to Coach Brandt. You know, these are not the sort of circumstances that you want to hear, you know, basically a technicality that somebody's no longer allowed to coach. So again, we've had him on the show. He seems like a fantastic person. We just want to thank him personally for everything he's done for, you know, not only the team, but for us moving forward. And obviously, best of luck to him moving forward. I know a lot of people are sort of gut-checked by the fact that this is the situation. I think, especially when news broke that there was going to be this press release today, there was a lot of speculation that went out about what the discussion was going to be. And I think a new coach was sort of the bottom of everyone's list. We all thought it was going to be something else. And so I think to hear that Bob Lilly is the new coach is sort of a bit of a shock. But at the same time, as we've sort of reiterated over and over again on the show, it's not necessarily a terrible thing. So, you know, massive thanks to Coach Brandt. Best of luck here to Coach Lilly. We're going to try to have him on the show, obviously, like I said, next week. So if you have any questions specifically for Coach Lilly, send them our way. We will get them to him, so you can all hear him talk, get his words, all of that on the next show. Obviously, there's a ton of other stuff that's been going on around the USL that we could talk about on the show. We're just sort of out of time for this one. Louisville won the USL Cup, you know, despite the announcers basically referring to it, you know, as being a crap game. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go look it up on YouTube. The audio was fantastic. There was a portion at the end of the game where the announcers didn't realize their mics were still on. And
you got their true feelings.
You got their true feelings. To say the least. It was amazing. So, you know, go check that out. Obviously, one of the other things, Atlanta United of the MLS just announced that they're going to be fielding a USL team next season. So that's likely another opponent the Hounds are going to have to face in the East. So much stuff going on right now. Now that this season is officially wrapped, we are going to talk about it all upcoming in future shows. Like I said, we talked about taking some time off, but who knows? We're going to talk to Coach Lilly next week, and we've got a bunch of other stuff lined up here moving forward that I think is just going to be a lot of fun for everybody involved. So stay tuned for that. Huge thanks to Tuffy for dropping by. You know, no doubt the past few days have been crazy for him, so we obviously appreciate him taking the time to talk to us. You know, We'll it may not be the last we've heard of him this offseason. We'll see. Lots of great stuff. You can follow us on Twitter at Mongols. Email us at mongols@bgn.fm. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, and leave us a review. Otherwise, let us know what you thought about this one. Tons of stuff going on here. So don't be afraid to hit us up on Twitter. Share your thoughts. Be part of the discussion. And let's keep pushing this team forward. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.
Later.
Before you go, please, help us to keep doing what we're doing by becoming a supporter of the show. Head over to mongols.com and click on the Become a Supporter button. For as little as $1 per month, just $1, you can help keep the show commercial free while also getting a say in who we interview, the questions we ask, what we talk about, and you can get some sweet gear as well. Thanks again to all of our listeners for your continued support. That's mongols.com. Click on Become a Supporter. Mongols.com. Become a Supporter. Thanks.